Well, now, we come to the last chapter we're going to look at, and that's chapter 49, because the last chapter just deals with Jacob's burial and the reaction of his sons to Joseph at that particular time. So what we're going to look at now is chapter 49 and the blessings of Jacob upon his sons, which means that in this chapter we're going to deal with 12 sons. Now, that isn't say we're dealing with blessings upon 12 tribes, because two of these sons do not have a tribe as such to their name. For instance, Joseph has not a tribe to his name. He is subsumed in these two other, in these two sons of his, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Levi, of course, is a tribe, but doesn't have any possession in the land. Ephraim is Levi possession. The land is divided up into the nation, into the tribes themselves, and it has no tribal land. However, there is a blessing upon Levi, which we'll look at, and he gives his sons, of course, and basically in the order in which they occur. Now, it would take a long time if we look at the history of all these sons, because we find that there's another blessing on them, most of them, in Deuteronomy 33. I don't particularly want to enter that as well. And then, of course, we will find that when you come to the book of Joshua, you come to the book in which their lands are given to them, and their inheritance, and that could be another development. And then we could follow the development of some of these tribes in the later books, but we're not going to do that. I want to be fairly brief with these, and just point out some of the things which happened to them. But there are three tribes, obviously, about which I'm going to have to say a bit more. In the sons of Jacob, there is one tribe which becomes the priestly tribe. Obviously, that will be given more time. And that's the tribe of Levi. So, from one of the sons of Leah is this tribe, the tribe of Levi. And then, of course, in the same descent from Levi, from Leah, you have the tribe of Judah. And that's the royal tribe. So you have priesthood and kingship coming from Leah. And so Judah is a tribe which has a bit more said about it in the blessing which is given here upon the tribes. And then lastly, of course, you have Jacob. And if Judah has the royal line and Levi the priesthood, when you come to Joseph, what you have there is the firstborn. And so those three tribes stand out more in the blessing of the tribes in what is said to them. So we're going to have a look at these tribes, and I'll say something about the blessings of each one of them, and maybe a bit more about the others. They'll not be exhaustive, but we'll at least get an idea of what happens to some of these tribes. So the final chapter of Jacob's life consists in his blessing upon his sons, and it's here in chapter 49. And the thing about Jacob was that he knew his sons. There's no doubt about that. When he was his blessing, he knew these sons all right. Well, he spent a number of long time with them. And what a revelation of their characters he gives, because he read them aright. And also a prediction of their future as tribes. And yet, you know, there's something more than that here. Because what he is predicting is their future and the characteristics of that future. And of course, they were still in Egypt. But this chapter, however it was retained, probably in clay tablets, the chapter was necessary for Israel during the days of bondage in Egypt, because those blessings, preserved in the tablets or whatever, were a testimony to them that they weren't always going to be in Egypt, but their destiny lay somewhere else. And something of the future of their destiny was given here in the blessing which Jacob gave to his sons. So they would look ahead with a possession in their hands of these blessings, they would look forward to the happy time when the tribes would be established in their own land, in the promised land, and every tribe would be in its own inheritance. So the possession of these blessings with them would have been an encouragement to them and an indication that they would always would have been in bondage, but they were going to be in their own land, in their own possession. So it would have been an encouragement to them in that sense. So we're going to start then in chapter 49 of Genesis, and we will start with the first son, of course, obviously, because that's the way he wrote it. And so let's start in chapter 49. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, and I may tell you that which will befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, O ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. And here comes the first one, the first one we look at. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou rentest up to thy mother where thy father's dead, thou defilest it, he went up to my couch. So we have the blessing upon Reuben. Reuben had brought us a unique opportunity. He was the firstborn, hence his father's joy and pride. My firstborn, he says. Was he going to get the blessing of the firstborn? My might, the beginning of my strength, the preeminence, the excellency of his power, says Jacob, and the excellency of dignity. And you can imagine almost Reuben's heart swelling and waiting for the last note which would have given him perhaps the birthright. And ouch, then it comes. And here comes the crash. Unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. The phrase unstable as water might indicate his character, but it could be translated, of course, bubbling over as water. That is a boiling, impulsive nature, all the energy of which evaporates in the first blow. So when you look back in the history of Reuben, you remember that when Joseph was taken, Reuben does one good thing. He acts upon impulse probably, but he plans that he will take away Joseph out of the pit and preserve him to his father. But in the event, of course, he's too slow. And what he finds is when he goes to the pit to get his brother, he's already been sold off. And he's the sort of man whose energy and glow evaporates after the first blow. And it sinks when the fire is withdrawn. But of course this boiling side of it, this impulsive boiling nature, could also indicate a nature which is wholly without self-control, and whose passions raged ungovernably. And that could have been the reason why, on this moment of foolishness, he ascended to his father's bed, as the scripture, as the statement says. So when you look at Reuben, he was a man who was found lacking in leadership, and lacking in leadership because, for instance, when they were going down to the down to Egypt to procure corn, he offers his two sons, but a leader will offer himself, and he didn't do that, whereas Judah would. So he was lacking in courage and in conviction, and consequently in character. So he was incapacitated for leadership, which would normally have been his role, because he was the firstborn. And his sinful deed is stated here, and publicly condemned in no uncertain terms. Thou defilest my bed, says his father. He went up to my couch. And that was the rebuke which anyone who heard it would never have forgotten. Now, when you trace the history of the tribe of Levi, Reuben, you'll find there was one other licentious lack of restraint, one other act of licentious lack of restraint in the history of the tribe. And it was later in the book of Numbers when the man called Korah rebelled against Moses. And he was joined by two Reubenites, and their names were Dothan and Abiram, who perished in the rebellion. But apart from that action, Reuben, as a tribe, Reuben never provided a prominent leader for Israel. Other tribes did, other tribes who were Egypt judges and so on, but Reuben never did. And it was a tribe which was never really to come to prominence. Now, when they came towards the land, and before they came into the land, the tribe of Reuben saw the pasturelands of Gilead, and they said, well, these pasturelands are fine for cattle. And so they went to Moses and said, look, we don't want to go in over the land. We just want to be here in these lands of Gilead because they're fine for cattle. And so they were struck a bargain. Moses would allow them to have this land on the wrong side of Jordan. And they would, however, have to go into Jordan and lead the army of the Israelites in the capture of the land of Canaan, which they did. When they left the land of Jordan, they built an altar to commemorate the fact that they had been there, and that almost created a war between themselves and the others because they thought they were setting up some other form of religion, and that was smoothed over. But Reuben was on the other side, the rather borderline. They didn't really enter into the life, full life of Israel. And because they were on the borderline, on the borders, in Gilead, on the other side of Jordan, they were in danger. And as a result, they were the first tribe to claim an inheritance on the wrong side of Jordan. And it indicates that they didn't want the best, because they thought the cattle land was the best, but surely being with the people of God in the land of Jordan would be in the land of Canaan would be the best. And what did happen was that when the enemy came, they were the first to be taken off into captivity by Tiglath-Pileser. And the book of Chronicles in chapter 5 records how that when the Assyrians came up, it was they who were taken first into captivity. Now, Reuben's sin had taken place 40 years earlier. And that would have given Reuben time enough to weep out his sorrow and shame to his father. But there had been nothing. And his unconfessed sin is judged here. And he's left no space for repentance. And his hopes of glory as the firstborn lie shattered around him. And so for Reuben. Now let's look at the next two, and they will take us a little more time. This was this nasty pair down at Shechem, weren't they? And so let's read about them now, because they're coupled together. Verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Now you'll remember that the last word at Shechem rested with Simeon and Levi. He treated our sister as a harlot, they said. The last word ultimately rests with Jacob, and he says concerning them, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come up into their secret, into their assembly. Mine honour, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, in their south will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. And so this was his condemnation of them, and the blessing in actual fact was not a blessing, it was rather a condemnation and a curse. Now these, as the old patriarch indicates, were brothers in disposition and in crime. And they showed a close affinity, that's why he couples them together here. They sought each other's society and used it for bad purposes. And because they did that, what he will do is he will divide them in Israel, divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now their sin wasn't one of weakness. That was a sin of Reuben. But their sin was one of downright, deliberate wickedness. Though they had tried to make their actions a defense of their sister's honor, Jacob reveals here the real motives behind it, and he tells them that they were instruments of cruelty. And it was their self-will, and anger and self-will, which brought them that far. You'll notice he says that in verse 6, for in their anger they slew a man, in their self-will they dig down a well, a wall. So pure revengefulness has incited them to commit gross violence. And you remember the story in Shechem, which we had gone over, how they used the right the covenant right of circumcision to cover their deeds of murder. Well, when they had committed that awful deed, Jacob had expressed his displeasure and dissociated himself from them. He had said that he caused his name to stink in the land. But they, Simeon and Levi, had never acknowledged their wrong and wickedness. And so Jacob here places a curse upon their anger, for it was not holy, but fierce. It was wrath, he says. Arrogance, that is, or an outburst which couldn't be controlled. Something that had gone beyond control, and it was cruel. And for their sin, Jacob had a curse. They had banded together for hurt and for harm. And they were going to be dispersed in Israel for their own good. So they were going to be divided. Well, now let's look at these two separately. Simeon. You remember that when she gave the name Simeon to her son, Leah, was indicating that God had heard her prayer. And Simeon's name means hearing. So God had heard and answered her prayer. And the word indeed itself, hearing, implies obedience. But he was deaf in the day he should have heard, and disobedient in the day in which he should have been obedient and responsive when his lot hung in the balance. Now all the tribes of Israel, Simeon had no real possession in the land. What happened in the case of Simeon was that its inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the children of Judah. So you had the tribe of Judah with its bounds to its inheritance, and stuck in the middle of this lot was a portion which was given to Simeon. And so Simeon didn't actually have its inheritance simply on its own. It was subsumed into that of Judah. And its fortunes, in fact, were connected with the fortunes of Judah. And then when you read the first chapter of Judges, you will find that Judah called Simeon to go up to battle with it. Well, it had little option in doing anything else. But it was absorbed also by other tribes. And you, particularly Judah, of course, but later on in the history of the nation, in the days of Josiah, the Simeonites were also connected with the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh and Naphtali. And so they were really and truly being scattered in Israel. At the time of the first census, which is the opening chapter of Numbers, they numbered 59,300 at the end of the book of Numbers. They numbered in the second census 22,200. So they were almost down by two-thirds. And it was so feeble that when they came to their inheritance, which was in Judah, they had only 15 cities assigned to it. Now when you read the blessing of Moses at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, what you will find there is that there is no mention of any blessing to Simeon. None at all. In fact, Simeon is passed over in silence. And so Simeon has not a blessing but a curse. Now, Levi was his companion in these deeds. And his companion here in the condemnation which is given to him, put upon him by his father Jacob. And Levi was going to be dispersed in Israel as well, but in a far different matter, far different way, to that of Simeon. Levi had no tribal land as distinct as a tribal land given to it. What happened to Levi is told us in Joshua chapter 21, and it's rather a long chapter because it's full of names and full of geographical positions, so you don't need to read it, we don't need to read it. Just simply to say that what happened was that the Levites were given cities, portions of cities, holdings in cities, where they were given parts of suburbs and plots of land and so on. And they were given these in the different tribes of Israel. In fact, in total, 48 cities had Levites dwelling in them. So these tribe of Levi was divided in Israel, but it's divided by putting the Levites into 48 different cities in Israel, in two different tribes in Israel. And that was rather different to Simeon, which was just sent to insignificance. But a turn and a change for Levi, which changed his curse into a blessing, in fact, the change in turn the case of Levi came in Exodus chapter 32. So let's turn very quickly to Exodus chapter 32 and let's just see what it is made the change in the destiny of Levi and brought them from being under the curse of their father into the work and service of God. Chapter 32, and in this particular chapter, what happens is that the Moses has gone to the mount, and when he comes down from the mount with the two tables of testimony, he's found that Aaron has made golden calf, and the children of Israel are naked and worshipping this golden calf. And we take up the story in verse 25, where Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked, they shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate of the camp, for every man his brother, and every man his companion, every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of the Lord, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And that particular action of the tribe of Levi, and it was only the tribe of Levi, you'll notice, who stood for the Lord, changed the fortunes, if I use that phrase, of the tribe of Levi forever afterwards. And the sword of murder, which had been in the hand of Levi at Shechem, was changed to the knife of sacrifice, because Levi became a part of the structure of sacrifices and offerings and priestly service help for the priests and so on, the tabernacle in Israel. And so Levi fears revenge against sin. The slaying of the Shechemites was converted into hostility against sin in all the sacrifices which were made at the tabernacle. And so it was, and the change came in the case of Levi, and the curse was changed into a blessing by the faithfulness of the tribe at this particular critical occasion when all the rest of the tribe were engaging in idolatry. Now, of course, Levi had no more personal merit than Simeon, yet it was all pardoned and elevated from lowest crime to higher service, and they became a separated people to God. Now, let's just pick up what happened to them, shall we? And let's now turn to Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8, and Moses is indicating the position which they will now hold. And we're going to look at verse 6. The Lord speaks to Moses, "Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. Thou shalt do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water purifying upon them. Let them shave all their flesh. Let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean." Three things you might need to notice they had to do there. They were to sprinkle water purification, they were to shave their flesh, they were to wash their clothes. But there was one other thing to do. Let them take a young bullock for his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil. And the young bullock that shall take for his sin offering. So bring the Levites before the time of the congregation, as we gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. Thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. The Levites shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullocks, and they shall offer the one bullock for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering to the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. Thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thou shalt separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. After that, so the Levites go in and to do the service of the tabernacle to their congregation, as will cleanse them and offer them for an offering, for they have already given them to me from the children of Israel, and so on. So you will notice a great change here, that now these are given to the Lord, and they're specially taken from the children of Israel to be the Lord's. And so the difference which you find in the reference here to the curse that Jacob placed upon them is due to the fact that on that very critical day when all Israel went a-warring after an idol, the Levites stood for the Lord. And that made the great difference. Well, let's just stay in Numbers for a moment, let me just make a few comments on this particular passage. You will notice that they were set apart to God by three acts. And the three acts which set them apart to God were these. First of all, they were cleansed, and verses 6 and 7 will give us that. And then secondly, they were brought before Jehovah, and before the Lord, and hands were laid upon them. And verse 8 will tell us that. And thirdly, they were offered as a wave offering, incidentally, before the Lord. And verse 15 is what tells us that. Notice the first one. They were cleansed. And in fact, it is a fourfold cleansing. I indicated the first three parts. First of all, let me take not in the order that appear here, but they were cleansed by the blood of atonement. Did you notice all the sacrifices the sacrifice, which was referred, the sacrifice referred to here, and in verse 12 it says, to make atonement for the Levites. So they were sacrificed by the blood of atonement. That's a judicial cleansing on the ground of atonement being made. That's the first one. And secondly, they were cleansed by the water of purification. Notice what it says in verse 7, sprinkle water of purification upon them. Now that's moral cleansing. And because it refers to the water, it refers to the word. And it means daily cleansing by the word. So that was the second cleansing. Notice thirdly, that there was the razor. And it says, let them shave all their flesh. You see, Justin didn't quite go far enough when he did his head. But they all had to do shave their flesh, you see. And that means mortification of the deeds of the flesh. That was in mind. And then lastly, of course, there was the washing of their clothes. And the clothes speaks of the habits of life. And we're back in Colossians 3, where we were last night, where you put away the old clothes and you don upon clothes which have been washed, which have been cleansed, and the clothes of the new man. Those things which are put away, which are put away, and you put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, meekness and so on, humility and meekness and so on, forgiveness, forbearance. Those are the things here which they put on. So their conscience, that is to their guilt, have been dealt with. And their walk had been dealt with in the habits of their life and so on. And all these things have been dealt with before they could really be set apart as God's Levites for his service. And that was the first thing, repent. Then secondly, they were brought before Jehovah. And in verse 10, we get that they shall bring the Levites before the Lord. And the Israelites should put their hands upon the Levites. So the whole there was a wholehearted commendation from Israel of their identification before the Lord. And then lastly, they were offered as an offering to God. And verse 15 tells us that of cleanse them and offer them for an offering. Actually, it was a wave offering, which was the picture there. So that was their sanctification. Now for their service. What was their service? Now, I've got to briefly summarize this because our time's almost up. They were, well, let me turn to the verses, perhaps that will be better. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we'll notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, and verse 8, chapter 10, and verse 8. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, to bless in his name unto this day. So you'll notice that they were to minister, first of all, here, unto the Lord. Turn now back to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. From the chapter 18 and verse 2. And thy brethren also the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister unto thee. That is unto Aaron here. So that they were minister unto the Lord, they were to minister unto Aaron. Go back to Numbers chapter 1. I think it's Numbers chapter 1. And in Numbers chapter 1, and verse 50, in Numbers chapter 1 and verse 50, so thou shalt appoint the Levites unto the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, over all the things that belong to it, they shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, that is, unto the tabernacle. And so here are three things that we've got then. They minister unto the Lord, they minister unto Moses, unto Aaron rather, and they were to minister unto the tabernacle. And then subsequently to this, and we'd have to look at the powerful passage rather than look at the at a verse. In the book of Joshua, we discover that they are dispersed among the nation. They're not just centered on the tabernacle, they're dispersed among the nation to carry on their tabernacle function. And their work there was to minister to the congregation of Israel. And so that was the basic work that they were to engage on. Very interesting, isn't it? Because our ministry should have the same characteristics. They minister to the Lord. So our ministry should be to God the Father who appoints us. They minister to Aaron. So our ministry should be to our great high priest, who is Christ, who intercedes for us. They were to minister to the congregation. And so our ministry is to be towards our fellow saints. And they were ministered towards the tabernacle. So they were to minister in regard to all the great doctrines, which we are to minister in regard to all the great doctrines which are set forth in the tabernacle structure. And so it is then that Levi was brought into blessing. While Simeon, of course, declined in their history. Now, this afternoon, God willing, I want to finish these blessings. And we'll start with another big one. We'll have a look at the blessing of Judah. And the second, and we'll look at the smaller ones around that. And we'll finish with the blessing upon Joseph and upon Benjamin. And again, Joseph will be another one of these big ones. So we will work our way through the rest of them. However, our time has gone. Let's have a word of prayer before we disperse. Father, we thank thee again for all thy many mercies to us. We thank thee for the high privileges in which thou hast brought us. Sons of God, joint heirs with Christ, we praise thee for that. We praise thee that thou hast brought us into the position of priests who minister, and we have a great high priest, even our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that thou hast brought us into the position in which we can have fellowship with one another, and we can be mutual helps one to another. We thank thee that thou hast given us a high and lofty privilege of being those who hold treasure in earthen vessels, yet able to disperse and dispense that treasure, and to define the doctrines which surround the person of Christ and of thy holy word to those who need to hear and to those who are hungry to know. We bless thy name, for thou hast not only saved us, but thou hast given us the awesome privilege of being associated with thyself in the development and purpose of thy purposes down here in this scene, and in the furtherance of the gospel and the extension of all that belongs to thy Son, Lord Jesus. We thank thee, Lord, because thou hast taken those who have no merit, and thou hast set them in thy presence, in the merits of another, in all the acceptability of Christ. And thou hast brought us into great things, and thou hast done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And this afternoon, this morning, we close this session. We come and humbly give thee our thanks for all thy mercies to us. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.